Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Nurturer's Corner, being a positive change and being a positive change agent in a negatively changing world. So again, I say good evening, and welcome to the show this evening. And we have with us tonight, and again, you have arrived at, first of all, the Nurturer's Corner's blog talk radio show entitled Being a Positive Change Agent in a Negatively Changing World. And guys, I am so excited tonight, everybody, because we have with us tonight on the line the one and only Apostle Kevin Cunningham. Have you joined us on tonight?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you so much
for
being on the show tonight. I am really excited that you were able to make it because, as I understand it, you have a nice following, and I totally understand why, as you are somebody to be followed. So we certainly appreciate you for agreeing to be on the show.
No problem at all. No problem at all. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you. Well, let's jump right into it. And why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners, those who aren't following you, to just give us a little bit about yourself. Let our listeners know who we're talking to.
Well, my name is Apostle Cunningham. My birth name is Kevin Cunningham. I am the last of 11 children, born into a very rich family, rich in love, integrity, and morals. I was reared on the west side of Chicago by my father, Bishop Charles Cunningham, and mother, Oprah Rita Cunningham, in a loving environment, a very, I wouldn't say religious environment, but we were born and we were raised in the confines of church. So we learned a lot from their examples, and we just grew up understanding the importance of family, the importance of church, the importance of education, and the importance of understanding your roots and history and things of that nature. My father made it a point to tell us and drill it into us till it got into our subconscious and unconscious levels of thinking that education was a priority and that having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is important also. So I'm a devoted husband of 23 years. I have five beautiful children, and we are prospering in ministry on the south side of Chicago at 7414 South Cottage Grove, New Vision of International Ministries, and I've been in ministry since 93, I believe it is, since 93. Been pastoring for 13 years, and I've been a public servant for the city of Chicago since 1997, and through the vehicle of education. I'm a Chicago public school educator. So that's just a brief summary of me, and I love the Lord, love reading the Word of God, love studying, and I love educating. I believe education is a very powerful weapon in the hands of people who are capable. It's a transformative agent for positive things, and I believe in education to the max. So that's just a summary of who I am.
Wow, awesome. Awesome. I love that you're talking about education being a major part of transformative change. I love that. And having said that, what are the top three? And you said you've been in education for a while as well as being in ministry. So, again, that's why I'm excited to have you on the call. That kind of, to me, makes you an expert. And mm-hmm. as I already said, your followers evidently appreciate you in that regard as well. So what are the top three challenges you've had to overcome as a person of manning and steering the positive shift, if you will? And how did you overcome them, if you can, you know, kind of tell us that as well?
The top three hindrances or obstacles that I have faced when it comes to creating change or manning and steering change is, first of all, the belief that I was able to do it. That's the first one, the belief that I was able to do it. When a thought comes to your mind about improving or developing or changing, to you, it's a great idea. It is a great idea, and in your mind, you don't see opposition. You don't see people opposing you, resisting you. You don't see hindrances. You don't see the resources needed, the human resources needed, the capital needed. You don't see any hindrances to your dream, your vision, or the idea that you have. You don't see any. All you see is the change. All you see is the transformation or the shift that's needed. So when those obstacles come, because every time change happens, there is a proportionate level of opposition to hinder that change. Every time change comes, there is a proportional level of opposition to stop that change from coming. So when the opposition comes, you still have to have faith, the faith and the conviction that you are able to bring the change to pass. Because the change, the idea for change came to you, so now it has to come through you. So that the first thing is having confidence and belief in yourself that you are the man or the woman to create the transformations that is needed. So that's number one. Number two, the thing that came, so how did I overcome that? Well, it's a process, because sometimes it's more difficult than others, but the process is finding people that will nurture, or finding people that will help you birth out the vision for change that you have. So that's how I overcame the obstacle of doubting yourself. You surround yourself with people that will, you can exchange energy. You can exchange, it's called synergy. You can use their energy. When your energy gets low, you can replace your energy with their with the energy that they have. And as long as you surround yourself with people that can feed into you when you get hungry, or feed into you when you get low, pour into you when you get dry, pour into you when you get sapped, it would always keep you going. So finding the right people who are not takers from you, who are not eaters from you, who just won't diminish you or deplenish you, or have the capability of feeding you, nurturing you, energizing you, pushing you forward. That's how you can. That's one way that overcome not believing in myself or having self-doubt, is to find people that don't doubt me, find people that do believe in me, find people that are encouraged by me and through me, and creating a relationship where they can feed and pour into you and encourage you and push you and motivate you until you, you know, catch your second breath or catch your second wind of confidence. So that's how you overcome that. You surround yourself with an army. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, when you're trying to initiate change, that one of the hindrances is being impatient. That's another one. That you, sometimes when you get the vision and when you get the idea for change, like I said, you see the end result. So you don't see how much hard work is going to take, or how much effort is going to take, or how much restarting is going to take. You don't see things going bad, like I said before. You just see the end product. And sometimes it's the end of the product. end of it, it takes time. It takes time. I just read in a book that the goal that you set is written, must be written in cement. The goal that you set must be written in cement. The goal can't change, but your strategic plan has to be written in sand, which means you got to change your plan sometimes. You don't change the goal, but you might change the method of reaching your goal. You might you got to tweak the plan for reaching your goal. But the goal is set in cement. But the way you reach your goal, sometimes you have to start over because the people you start off with might not be the people that you end up with. The people that, you know, you set off your voyage with might not be the people that you reach your destination with, okay? Sometimes it's like in driving, just like in driving sometimes. You set the GPS, you set the destination address, okay? But you don't know. Sometimes it's GPS, they got it now where they can tell you, all right, there's a roadblock ahead. There's traffic over here. There's an emergency over there. And they will reroute you. So the rerouting is the plan, but the destination is the goal. So in that, you have to develop the capacity for change along the way, or let's say augmentation along the way. So, you know, recalibration along the way. And in that, your patience will be tried. Your patience will be tried. Because we, as visionaries, we see A to Z. We see a straight linear line. But we don't see that the way to reach a destination is not a straight shot. It's not a straight shot. You're going to go around the woods. You're going to go through the valleys. You're going to go up. You're going to go down. And sometimes you might just stop, okay, in the middle of the journey and figure out what's the next move. But that don't mean that the goal is not written in stone. So that's the second thing, being patient. And one of the things about being patient when you're being tried in your goal, patience is key. But I've come to realize that if it's taken a long time to reach something, that in that space was my learning curve. Sometimes it's taking me a long time to, to see what I want in my mind come to pass is because I'm learning. That's a learning curve. Okay, that's a learning curve. So when we're learning right there, when we're learning, our mind is going through a shift, and it's going to take longer to reach that destination. All right? So how do I overcome time? I just said it, learning. I'm learning and reaching out to mentors to cut down the time. I read that in the book. I forgot the book, but I read it in the book, that when you get mentors, when you include mentors in your life, and when you include mentors in your journey, it cuts down the time for reaching your goal. Okay? Because sometimes without a mentor, you got to learn through experience and mistakes and failures. But when you get a mentor, it cuts out the mistakes, the failures, and all those bad experiences. So it really cuts down the time for reaching your goal. So that's what I've learned about patience and how did I overcome that, including mentors into my life and letting them see me in my failing states, not my success, but letting them know where I'm at in my life, period. And the last thing I had to overcome initiating change, the very last thing was learning. I had to drop, and I am dropping my old way of thinking, my paradigm. My paradigm is the way that I view life. That's the paradigm, the way that I see life, the way that I approach life. So I had to realize that if I'm not reaching my goal, and it's taking me too long to reach my goal, then I am doing something incorrectly. And I had to realize that pride is an enemy. Arrogance is an enemy, okay? Being stubborn is an enemy. It's an enemy to what? It's an enemy to change. It's an enemy to success, okay? There is a passage in the Bible that says, he giveth grace to the humble. He gives favor to those who humble themselves. He gives grace to those who realize that their way of doing things is a symptom of pride. And then it says this, he resisteth the proud. So if nothing's really mm-hmm. changing, it's because I'm really proud. All right, I haven't
right.
humbled myself to take on another way of thinking. That's all it is to accept another way of looking at things, to accept that maybe what I'm doing is not the solution to the problem. It probably works for somebody else, but that doesn't mean it's going to work for you. It's probably working 10 years ago, but change is so fast, I can't use the method even from 10 years ago, 2007, to work in 2017. Because change is on the speed now. So I'm reading more books. I'm reading and looking at more different videos and different YouTube clips and things like that. Why? To always keep myself in the attitude and the spirit of learning. Okay? Because when I learn, when learning happens, what's really happening is you are breaking from thinking that you have and getting a breakthrough into the thinking that you should have. How do you overcome that? You just load up with books, constantly read, constantly listen to CDs and DVDs in your drive, listening to CDs. And I was going to read one book at a time. That was my goal, to read one book at a time. But listening to a CD, I heard that you should read multiple books at the same time. Because the mind gets bored easy. The mind
That's
gets
true.
Bored easy, and you get distracted easy. So you should fill yourself up with all different kinds of books at the same time. So I've got different kind of books, reading passages, highlighting passages, listening to different teachings through YouTube, in my truck, on the way to work, on the way home, into my computer, listening to different types of motivational speakers, inspirational speakers, theologians, everything. And you hear something, you study it out, you hear it again, you keep hearing it, hearing it, hearing it. Heard something this morning that says when you hear something, listen to something repetitively, it breaks through your conscious level into your subconscious level and all the way down to your unconscious level. And that's where you want to get that new knowledge to go, all the way down to your unconscious level. So you'll be doing it by second nature. So things like that, how do you, and that helps the learning curve. That's what it's all about, learning, breaking mm-hmm. mental molds, breaking through mental molds. I'm reading the book over and over again called The Fifth Discipline by Peter Senge, and he's talking about mental mm-hmm. molds in the book. Mental molds are the way we really think, the way that our mind is really shaped and fashioned. We call them assumptions. And he say in order to break through the mental mold, the mind has to go through a shift. And the only way it can go through a shift is if you surround it by people who think differently. And you have to be able to receive their thoughts to get your mind to shift from where it's at to another mode of thinking. So those are the big three to manning and steering a positive change.
Wow. The Apostle Kevin Cunningham, just amazing. And guys, I will not even try to repeat my notes. What you're going to have to do is replay the replay. I'm about to run out of time here. This is just too impactful here. I am loving it, Apostle Cunningham. But I really want to get you to respond to this, and then we're going to schedule another time to bring you back on, if that's okay, because
that's perfectly fine.
This is not enough time. Here's the question here. First, I'm going to give you a quote. The quote is, the quality of a leader is reflected in the standards they set for themselves. And this is a quote by Ray Kroc, who is the starter of McDonald's. The quality of a leader is reflected in the standards they set for themselves. So the question is, what standards have you set for yourself that cause your positive shift to be effective, productive, and visionary? And I don't know if you can give me that that full answer tonight, but I definitely want you to get started on it. So let me ask the question again. What standards have you set for yourself that cause, in other words, your manning and steering the positive shift to be effective, productive, and visionary?
That is a huge question, but the first thing that comes to my mind is the standards that I have for myself. I will not be somebody else. I will always be me. That's the first standard. I will always be true to me. I believe that in order to be an effective leader, you gotta like some people say, you gotta do you. You gotta be you. You can't be anybody else. If you think that way, you gotta think that way until you are convinced that your thought needs to change. Don't change your thinking because other people think your thinking is wrong. Okay?
Right.
Be respectful of everybody's thought. Be respectful of everybody's thought. Be respectful of everybody's, ideology. But just because they think that way, don't you begin to think that way if you really don't think that way. We have a lot of that going on. It's a lot of people that's just, not being them, not being real. Not being real. I can't be something that I'm not. Can't say that I like the music if I don't. I can't, dance if I don't hear the music. I don't, like Denzel Washington said in the movie of Remember the Titans, I don't scratch my head until it starts itching. I don't, and some people, we got a lot of people going with fads and fashions and saying things that they probably don't even understand, but they heard it. I just can't be nobody else. I can't be anyone else. I got to be me. I often say this to myself and a few people that's around. I don't say it to everybody. If I'm going to make a mistake, I'm going to make my mistakes. I'm going to do things that I think is right or do things I feel should be done. And if it turns out to be wrong, then I can say that's totally my fault. I'm sorry, but I won't feel destroyed or bad about it because I did what I thought was right.
Right.
Okay? I'm not going to make a mistake taking somebody else's advice. Okay? At the end of the day, I think being a strong and positive leader is you are convicted that what you are doing is right. Being a leader,
right.
You can't take on somebody else's fight. Like King David, he didn't take on anybody else's fight. He took on Goliath because he saw there was a need to take on Goliath. He didn't do it because somebody else thought it was a great idea. He did it because he was convinced this should be done. And his brothers were saying that you coming down here to start trouble. You coming down here because you're naughty. You play too much then. But he was like, don't you see a reason for this to happen? He did this because he was convinced that it should happen. And he did it the way he thought that it should be done.
Right, okay. Right.
That's you are, I'm comfortable with being me. I'm comfortable. I accept people's advice. I accept people's help. I accept people's input and all of that. But at the end of the day, I have to be clear. And I have to be firm that what I am doing because I believe that it should be done. And that's one of the greatest assets of a leader. A leader has this thing within him or her that's a compass, and they have to be true to themselves. Shakespeare said it best, to thine own self be true. To your own self, you have to be true. You have to look at yourself in the mirror, and you have to say, I did that. Why? Because I believe that this is the thing that should be done and that this is the thing that's going to create change, development, or whatever. This is what should happen. And David didn't even go to the battle with somebody else's armor on. He said, they had armor for him. And he said, I put this on. I'll be respectful. I'll put it on because you're the king. I'm going to respect you. But in all honesty, this doesn't fit me. This doesn't fit. No disrespect to you. It might work for you. It might work for you. And that's cool. That is good if it works for you. But for me, I can't do it this way. I got to do it that way. And people will take that a whole bunch of ways or whatever. But that's what being a leader is. I read one time years ago that the true mark of a leader to them, a true mark of a leader to them, leadership is about having the ability to fully express yourself. That's what leadership is, expressing yourself to the fullest. That's what leaders do. They express themselves without any kind of inhibition, prohibition, whatever. I just want to express who I really am. And that's what a leader is. And that's what a leader does. And leaders respect other leaders. Leaders respect other leaders. A true leader will never degrade another leader. Will never degrade another leader. Because that's the essence of leadership. You express yourself the way you see fit. I express myself the way I see fit. And we both can bring some transformation and change to the areas that we're called to serve. As soon as you see a leader taking the chance or the opportunity to use that platform to degrade another leader, he's losing his leadership credibility. He's losing it. He or she.
Right.
Losing it. Because a leader's job is to influence people. So that's what I feel. I got to express myself and be me.
Wow. Apostle Cunningham, powerful. I'm telling you. This is truly not enough time. So we're wrapping it up, and I just want you at this time to, for our listeners, just what advice do you have for us who are aspiring to have the same confidence and striving for excellence as being fellow steerers? And manning the positive shift or positive change. What advice do you have for us?
It's a lot of things I could say. A lot of things I could say because I've learned a lot in like these past five years has been really, 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 I would say, interesting for me. It's been intense, but it's been interesting. But I learned a lot in these like 5 years. And there's a lot I could share with you, but the thing that's coming to my mind is you really gotta be patient. You really gotta be patient, and you gotta learn as much as you possibly can. But just because it's not coming to pass when you want it to come to pass, or it's not manifesting in the time that you want it to manifest, does not mean that you're not growing, but it does not mean change is not happening. So that's one of the things I want to share. It's a lot. So the thing that's coming to me is in the hard times, you got to really learn. You got to learn. You got to study. You got to read books. You got to watch videos. You got to study. You got to write. You got to write it. You got to write down. You got to write. To me, writing is therapeutic. You got to write it. You got to get it out your spirit. What's in your spirit got to come out. So you got to write. I don't like typing too much. I like writing. I don't know what it's about. It's about metacognition. I'm interacting with my brain when I write something. I don't know. But you got to write things out. You got to learn. You got to question. You got to ask yourself questions. You got to go through your process. But the most exciting thing to me and for me is learning. When I learn something, I get excited. When I learn something, I get excited. So learn as you grow. Learn as you go through. Study.
Well, thank you so much, Apostle Cunningham. We are definitely going to have you back on the show. We certainly appreciate your time this evening. Thank you so much. And listeners, have a great evening. Thanks for chiming in. And we'll definitely look for you on the next show. God bless everyone.
All right. God bless you.